And welcome to the Sportscast. Santiago Leon speaking here. It is March 23rd, 2018. The world of sports is still turning. College basketball is still happening. But the NFL as well, still making news every single day. And we got Jeff Farr as our guest today. Hey, Jeff.
How's it going, Santiago?
Good, man. The world of football keeps going. A lot of things going on. Johnny Manziel's in the pro day. No one found out till the day of.
Yeah, I think he's teams want to give him a shot. We'll see what happens.
Do you think he's the real deal, or do you think, I mean,
he's got a ways to go. he's going to need somebody that really takes time with him and rebuilds him from the ground up. But I think he might be worth a low-level roster spot as long as – you know how it is with him. It's all about whether he behaves or not. You have to – you know, hopefully he really wants to – yeah, he's got to turn it around, you know. He's got to want to be good.
I mean, okay, here's my theory, my philosophy. If you're out for 2 years from the NFL, that's not a good sign that you can get back.
That's tough. It really is. Yeah. Now, Josh Gordon, you know, he was out for, I guess, either 2 years or almost 2 years, and he looked good when he came back last year, but the odds are definitely against you. I mean, even Martavis Bryant out in Pittsburgh, now he's still good. You know, he's still an incredible athlete, at least, but he didn't look quite like himself, and he was only out for a year.
Wow. I mean, yeah. I mean, for a year, I mean, it's okay, but I mean, Tim Tebow did the same thing. I think a couple years ago he was out for a year or two. Well, actually a year, came back into practice, but he was not in good shape.
Yeah, and beyond that, if you're going to be a quarterback, it's a very specific muscle group, very specific thing.
There has been some interest with the Patriots. Well, I mean, this is all speculation. I mean, there's 13 teams at Pro Day in San Diego where he was at. It's not saying much, but I know Patriots were interested with him a couple years ago before the draft. You think that would be a good spot for him?
I do, and the thing with New England is that they're going to have to replace Brady at some point. I mean, I know we talked about this last time. You know, he looks great. He still plays great, but Father Time's undefeated. You know, whether it's this year or whether it's 2 years from now, eventually Tom Brady's going to hit the wall, just because every athlete does. And I really think that Belichick would have liked to keep Jimmy Garoppolo, but it didn't work out that way. So now the Patriots have to, you know, they got to get the next guy in the pipeline. They got to find who they want to be their successor. So if you can buy low on Manziel, who I think most people would say is pretty talented, buy low, try to keep him out of trouble. You know, don't let him hang out with Gronk too much.
<You know? laughs> Keep these two apart. They cannot be roommates. Yeah,
That's right. No pool parties for Johnny and Gronk. I don't think that would be the best. But yeah, I mean, keep his head straight. And, you know, maybe if nothing else, maybe he can even be a quality backup at some point. You just don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, back what you said, I really did think Belichick wanted to keep Garoppolo, but I think it was a business decision for the front office.
Yeah, the thing about Belichick, I don't think he gets emotionally attached to anybody. I don't even think he's emotionally attached to Tom Brady. Just from what you hear in the rumblings, it sounds like Belichick was kind of ready to move on to that next phase and that next challenge, and the ownership wanted to keep Brady, which that's a tough case to make to move on from Tom Brady, even if he is 40 or 41. So
yeah,
that's a tough decision.
Have you seen that Facebook special with Tom Brady?
I haven't. I have a tough time watching an entire show about Brady. I mean, he's awesome and he's great, but I don't know, man.
It's really good. I would suggest watching it. I mean, it's really in depth. They go inside his house and he says some stuff, and he's, like, focused. Like, he goes on his computer every night and watch old football games.
He has a moat around his house, right?
I think so. He does.
Yeah, you know what? That's the one thing I think is great about him. I mean, to have a moat around your house, I mean, that's legendary right there.
In the news, Paul Pierre from the New York Giants was traded for a third and fourth round pick. He was traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a third and fourth round pick. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, just from the little bit that I heard, it sounded like they think he'll be a better fit in Tampa's defense. I guess New York is potentially transitioning to a 3-4, and Tampa plays the, you know, the straight 4-3, which I think Pierre Paul can be a 3-4 defensive end or a 4-3 defensive end, but you don't pay someone what he's making to be a 3-4 defensive end. If you're going to pay him the money that he wants to make and that you have that the market dictates you pay him, then you need to get some pass rush productivity out of him. So, you know, I really like I like Noah Spence in Tampa, and he kind of came out of the gates strong and then faded a bit. But, you know, Noah Spence, JPP, and then they have McCoy. Year one to year two guys should take a step, and then year two to year three they should take a step. And for whatever reason, he really didn't. You know, it seemed like he was still the same player, the same struggles, and it's really, I hate to make it too black and white, but I think it's all about Jameis, you know, and I guess the defense was good at times, but maybe not consistent, so that would certainly help them out too.
Speaking about behavior, he's been behaving really well. I mean, I know during his FSU days, they would say it was not that pretty.
Yeah, you know, and the hard part, and this is where NFL GMs really make their money. What's the difference between immature and just a jerk? You know, so obviously I'm not friends with Jameis Winston. I don't know the guy, but a lot of the stuff that I heard that he did was just immature kid stuff, you know, that maybe a lot of guys do, but they're not in the limelight. Now, obviously, I'm not saying he should have stole crab legs and said the things that he did. You know, it's obviously inappropriate and really bad taste and all those things. But at the same time, you know, it shouldn't be a life sentence for a guy that just said some stupid stuff. So hopefully he just grew up a bit. You know, you hope that all those guys do from the time they're 18 till they're 25. You would certainly hope that there's some level of maturation and growing up going on there.
He did start in his rookie season, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he started, him and Mariota both, I believe. You know, they came in the same year, and they were both supposed to be franchise guys. And
yeah, that's really rare in the NFL to see a rookie start in his first year.
Yeah. Well, I think those top 10 picks, there's a lot more pressure now. Yeah. Teams, I don't want to say teams feel like they have to, but, you know, and then, you know, it depends on the team. Some teams think that they have to be on the field to learn, and then others think that you want to give them that first year to just learn how to be a pro and, you know, study film and do all those things behind the scenes that we don't see.
Yeah. Since we talked, the Jets got the third pick. They're getting a quarterback.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, I heard, you know, I've heard the rumblings of people saying, oh, well, maybe they're going after Chubb because they want a pass rusher. Maybe they're going to draft Saquon Barkley. Look, man, not to make it too black and white, but if you give up that type of haul to trade up to number three and you take a running back, I don't care if it's Bo Jackson. You know, your fans are going to burn your stadium to the ground if you move up to three to take a running back. And I love Barkley. I mean, I don't want that to come across as negative towards Barkley. But, you know, I saw a stat that was very telling. You know, they said Adrian Peterson's probably the best running back of the last 10 to 12 years when he was in his prime. And in his career, he had one playoff win. You know, so if the ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl, you know, obviously you have to get to the playoffs first and then win playoff games. But when you're building your franchise, you're not building your franchise by getting the best running back. You got to get a quarterback. So, yeah, I don't see any way. I don't see any way they take anything but a quarterback.
And for the Browns, I think they got the perfect setup. First pick and a fourth pick, they're getting Barkley and a quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I think they're taking Darnold one. And, you know, the Giants, I think, are the wild card because I still think the Giants are going to take a quarterback, but let's say they don't. Let's say they go off the grid and they take Chubb or they take Barkley or whoever. If you're the Browns with that fourth pick and the Giants don't take a quarterback, then all of a sudden, that pick is just worth, I mean, I don't even know what it's worth. I mean, they could really, really get a haul for that fourth pick if there's still two or three quarterbacks on the board that teams really like. And I still, I don't know, I still think Denver has to, I mean, unless things really fall apart for them, I still think they have to try to find a way to get a quarterback pretty high, too, because Case Keenum, you know, he had a nice bounce-back year and played pretty well last year, but, yeah, they still have to take a quarterback.
Yeah, you might be right. Like I said, and like you were saying, I think Minnesota did make Case Keenum look pretty good last year. And before that, he was not good.
Yeah, right. I mean, he bounced around quite a bit, and he's always been a little bit of a – I mean, he'll go out there, and he'll chuck it around, and he'll take hits for you. And I think just his interaction with his teammates, it seems like his teammates did like him. You know, it's not like he's a bad guy to have on your team, but ultimately he can't be your A1 uncontested option. And Denver only signed him to a 2-year deal, so you have to think that they know that too. That they're going to still try to get someone to come in behind them.
I heard the Giants might get a cornerback. You think so?
Maybe. I mean, if they really want a defensive back, then I think they trade out of that number 2 pick and let one of the teams desperate for a quarterback. Because, you know, the Bills are the other team that we're going to hear from, because the Bills for the last 2 years have just been loading up on this crazy, you know, crazy amount of picks. And, you know, the Bills want to get their quarterback. So if the Giants really aren't going to go quarterback, then I would think it's going to come down to the Bills or Broncos trading up for that pick to take whoever they like.
Yeah. How, what do you predict Baker Mayfield might go? Or, I mean, like, what pick?
Yeah. He's a wild card to me. I'd say, if it's a QB-heavy draft, you know, say that the Browns take a quarterback, the Giants take a quarterback, the Jets take a quarterback, I could see Mayfield ending up in Denver with that fifth pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a bad pick. That would...
Yeah,
that would be good.
Yeah, because I think what little I've heard is that the Bills kind of like Josh Allen, which, you know, again, he seems to be the guy in this year's draft that there's very, very high and low opinions of. Some people think he can be the next Ben Roethlisberger. Some people think he can't hit a guy running in stride unless he's wide open. So, you know, I'm not a scout, but, you know, you hear big time discrepancies when people talk about Josh Allen.
And AJ McCarron, what do you think about him being with the Bills?
I think that was their fallback option. You know, he's similar to how I look at Case Keenum. Now, he's not as good as Keenum, but you bring him in to give you someone that can at least go take snaps until your young guy's ready. So that move, to me tells me that the Bills are going to aggressively go after a quarterback. But McCarron, not that we saw McCarron play a lot, but he can at least go in for a game or two if your starter's hurt and not completely sabotage your offense. You know, he can run the offense. He's a veteran at this point. He gives that stability to you for just a couple games, but I don't think... And again, you know, I guess some people said this about Rich Gannon back in the day, and he turned out being really good, but I don't think McCarron's the guy that is going to be your starter and be your franchise.
Yeah, it's he's a fallback. A lot of fallback quarterbacks going around, and just in case, you know, if nothing really pans out for them in the draft, they got these quarterbacks to attend to. So
that's right.
Richard Sherman got a lot of flack for negotiating his own contract. He got $39 million, but the contract was kind of iffy. I think if he got the physical test, he gets $2 million. What'd you think about players or his situation of his contract?
It's funny to me that fans get up in arms about how much money a player makes because, you know, at the end of the day, it's their career. Look, Richard Sherman went to Stanford. All right, he's a pretty bright guy. Did he maybe take a less competitive contract by negotiating himself? Possibly, he may have. The other side of that is, when I saw that, what I saw is I think Richard Sherman is just so over-the-top confident that he's going to bounce back from the Achilles injury that he has no concern that he's not going to return to being one of the better corners in the NFL. So I think he looked at that and said, you know what, it's not even in the back of my mind that I'm not going to be the same player. So he took that contract with full confidence in himself that he's going to bounce back and be a great player again. There's certainly some risk there. He's 30 years old and he's playing a position where you have to run full speed backwards with the best athletes in the world. That's tough. But at the same time, nobody knew who Richard Sherman was when he wasn't a high draft pick. He wasn't someone that we all touted in college. And he's had a great career and been a great corner, so I'm not going to start doubting him now.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the best cornerbacks in the league. I think he's still in his prime. I think with him adding to the 49ers, I mean that 49. I think that like the 49ers have the 7th pick of the draft.
Yeah, and what I like for the Niners is that, you know, they have the 7th pick and they already have their quarterback. Most teams that are picking in the top 10, you know, most teams picking in the top 10, they don't have their quarterback yet.
No.
So that, you know, they're almost put in a position where they feel as though they have to go quarterback. So now with the 49ers, the benefit that they have is that they already have their quarterback and they can either try to trade down if one of the quarterbacks somebody else wants falls, or they can just take the best player on their board and try to get someone to help on offense or get a great defensive player. You know, I think they're in a great spot.
Yeah. The team, maybe they'll come back to their 80s glory days, the team that won the most championships.
Their division's ripe for the picking because I think the Seahawks are going to have a drop-off. I mean, they've pretty much had a fire sale on their defense. You know, Sherman's gone. It sounds like Chancellor may never play again. Earl Thomas still might get traded. You know, so I don't think the Seahawks are going to be quite as good as they have been. And the Rams are up and coming, but, you know, I'm just not 100% sold on them yet. And then the Cardinals, you know, who can figure them out? You know, they always seem like a team that's on the verge of being good, but they've had trouble actually following through on that and, you know, being what they should be, I guess you would say.
And Jacksonville Jaguars is a team of the future.
Yeah, I mean, I like them. Their secondary is young. You know, they're really good. And I guess, you know, their linebacking core is too. The only thing I would say is with the Jaguars, what made them great is they could generate a pass rush without blitzing a ton. And some of those guys are a little bit older. You know, Marcell Dareus isn't – I mean, he's one of those guys that when he's motivated, he's unblockable, but is he always motivated? And then Calais Campbell has been really good. Yeah, I mean, Campbell had one of his best years of his career last year. But, again, when do you hit that wall? You know, he's getting a little bit older now. And so I think the Jaguars are gonna have to replace some guys there. They have an edge rusher that's a young guy. And I can't his name is escaping me right now. So they do have some youth there. But I'm just saying it's always dangerous to assume that a defense or an offense is gonna be that dominant for back to back years. You know,
yeah,
it's a tough thing to do.
It's hard to see consecutive years. The only team that I've seen it's the Patriots, but. I mean, even like their second year after, I mean, it's not perfect, but it's as the year before, but it's the NFL. It's not for long.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay.
And the Patriots have
yeah
Brady and Belichick, so that kind of slants in their favor that nobody else has that.
I was reading an article that the Patriots, you know, yes, they select players by skill, but also personality.
Yeah, I think everybody, I'm sure everybody does that to some extent, but the difference is because the Patriots have been so successful, we pay attention to them a little bit more.
I wasn't planning to talk about the Patriots today, but yeah. As much as I thought it would. I guess it's just that they're overexposed this past year because it's Tom's age and Belichick's still going. And I saw the two Bills on the 30 for 30. It's, I don't know. They were way over advertised.
Yeah, they definitely are.
Ready for some NCAA picks predictions?
Sure.
Clemson, Kansas.
I'll go Kansas.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say Kansas is always right there, so I just feel as though they're even if they're not matchup-wise the best bet, but
FYI to the audience, me and Jeff are not college basketball fans. We, you know, we just glimpse at it, of course, because they're on SportsCenter. West Virginia, Villanova.
Villanova.
Yeah, I heard they're favorites. Syracuse, Duke.
I'd probably say Duke. This feels like a Duke tournament. There's been a lot of upsets, and historically, in the years that there's been a lot of upsets, Duke usually rises to the occasion and takes advantage of it.
Texas Tech, Purdue.
Texas Tech, just because Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh, of course. Yeah. Chiefs reference there.
That's right.
I haven't heard much Chiefs news lately. I mean, is it because I'm just reading ESPN or?
Oh, they quieted down. They came out with a bang right away, but they made a couple small signings, but re-signed their punter. That doesn't really get big headlines.
Loyola, you think Loyola Chicago will go far?
So from what I've seen, they've been playing above their heads a little bit.
Yeah.
So eventually the carriage eventually turns back into a pumpkin. So I think that may be approaching.
And they go up against Kansas State tomorrow at 6:09 p.m. This is March Madness. NBA playoffs begin next month. The NFL draft is next month. So a lot going on. And the CFL begins in June, if you didn't know that. I just found out yesterday.
You know what's funny is you mentioned the NBA playoffs. I'll say this. This year is the most that I've watched the NBA since the 90s because I feel as though the NBA has finally transitioned back to where you have a lot of teams playing team basketball. And, man, I've being in Pennsylvania, seeing the Sixers come around and that youth, you know, that young nucleus is starting to grow. The Bucks are fun. The Warriors are still fun. The Rockets are fun. There's a lot of teams that they move the ball, they attack, they stay aggressive. So I'm back on the NBA bandwagon a bit.
That's right. You're in Pennsylvania. I thought you were in Kansas.
No, I'm in Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. So you're seeing a lot of Steeler fans out there, aren't you?
Yeah, we're surrounded, man. It's tough.
It's tough. Like, you see them everywhere. Like, here in Florida, there's like a bar that's just for Steeler fans.
Yeah.
So, it's like Steeler Nation is true.
It is. And, you know, a lot of – and you know, in the 70s, you win four Super Bowls, yeah. And then those people – I mean, you know how it goes. Anyone that wins a lot gets a huge following.
Yeah.
And then with the Steelers, you know, it just got passed down. And yeah, so 20 years from now, there's going to be a lot of Patriots fans. It's just kind of how it works.
And it's interesting. There's also Dolphin fans. They're not from Miami, but they like them because they were undefeated back in 73.
Okay.
I've met those kind. I was like, but they're not from Miami, but they're just like the Dolphins because they wanted, you know, like, had that one perfect season, so.
Always have something to brag about.
Exactly. Speaking about the Dolphins, Wayne Huizenga, former Dolphin owner, died today. 80 years old, owned three sports teams, Panthers, the Dolphins, and the Marlins. He won two championships with the Marlins, could not have won a Super Bowl with the Dolphins, and he had Dan Marino at the helm, but it is a sad passing, but he did a lot for the community.
Yeah, and that's, you know, a lot of times the owners of these, any of the big sports teams, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, any of them, you know, they do a lot to help their communities too. You know, everybody talks about, oh, they're just these rich billionaires, but, you know, a lot of times they really do make a positive difference. And yeah, you know, you mentioned Dan Marino. It's funny because, you know, the thing about Dan Marino is, if I'm not mistaken, he made it to the Super Bowl as a rookie and then never made it back.
Correct.
And he always said, he said after his rookie year, he thought that's just how seasons ended, with you playing in the Super Bowl. But then, you know, things just don't always bounce your way.
Yeah. I mean, like, my argument, and some people, you know, could disagree with me, but he just didn't have the right pieces.
Yeah, and, you know, again, you don't know how much is hearsay and how much is legitimate, but they said they always tried to give him a running game, but if you called a run, he'd audible to a pass anyway. So, so it's hard to keep balance. Hard to keep balance that way.
We'll leave it there, Jeff. Thank you very much for coming on the Sportscast.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. It's always fun.
Thank you.